The Lord has moved upon me to get into another area. We've covered this area before, but if you have pencil and paper, I want you to get them out, because you might want to take some notes here today. We're going to get into the subject of emotions. The subject of emotions. I'm going to cover these areas again, and I believe that many of us will be blessed here. Either that, or many of us will have our toes stepped on. Praise God. But I love it when the Lord chastens me. That's a sure sign He's in love with me. Amen. And so today, we're going to begin a subject called emotions. And it's not going to be a long thing, but it'll be very point and direct. And some people don't realize how much our emotions are involved in our life. Praise God. So, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we now commit ourselves to the Word of God this morning, I ask that this morning the ears be anointed to hear, the lips be anointed to speak, and Father, we will not be long this morning, so I ask that you help me choose the words correctly to be more effectively when we don't have much time, so that, Father, much can be accomplished in that first step in understanding emotions. And everybody said, amen and amen. If you will, open your Bibles up to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. There's very little understood about emotions. Very little that is understood about them. Matter of fact, they didn't use the term emotion in the ancient world. They used the term wrath. And most of the time, it was from a negative viewpoint. But in Ephesians chapter 2, everybody there? Okay, in Ephesians chapter 2, let's go to verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation, or conducted ourselves, would be a better rendering, in times past, in the desires of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, the children of wrath, even as the rest. And what he's referring to here is those who are not a part of the kingdom of God. Now, I want you to notice something here. Let's take note of some things. First of all, he's actually saying that you have been separated from something that you were formerly connected to. And what was that? Well, he says you were once formerly connected and had your and conducted yourselves in the desires of the flesh and fulfilling, bringing to completion the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and he's got semicolon here, and he says, and were by nature, the children of wrath. Now listen, I got news for you. When a man gets born again, when he's born from above, he loses the nature that he once possessed before he ever got saved. And when he got saved, he received the life and nature of God within him, and the nature of the spirit of man that you formerly were a part of has moved out, and God has moved in. And see, most of the time the churches don't tell you that you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new on the inside of you. Glory to God. And can I hear an amen? And somebody says, well, it seems like I'm fighting two natures. No, you're not. You have one nature that it's the root, the deepness of you as a being, and that is your spirit. Well, then what is this thing that's warring against? Why do I feel this antagonistic thing going on in the inside of me when I want to do evil, and yet there's something on the inside that's promoting me to do good? Because you see, your mind, once you come into the kingdom of God, your mind has not been set free yet. That is a process that takes time to do that. And so the soul has been programmed by a nature you formerly was a part of, but you've been set free from it. That nature no longer is on the inside of you, producing the things of the flesh. Well, how do I know the difference? Have you ever noticed that you didn't have a problem with anything until after you got saved and everything was no? Now, not all of us experience that, but I had one sinner tell me on the job. We were working on a job, and I asked him if he was saved. He says, "Are you referring to Christianity?" And I says, "Yeah." He says, "No, I don't want no part of that." And I says, "Why?" And he says, "I know Christians that are miserable. Why? They always have a conviction about everything." And he says, "I'm staying conviction free." I never heard that before. I thought, so what you're telling me, you want to go through life and do your own thing and not have any conviction whether it's right or wrong. And you know what he said to me? He says, "No." He says, "That's not where I'm coming from at all." I said, "Well, that's good news." Because that's kind of the impression you're giving me. You know? And he says, "Listen, then, if Christianity is really the answer, why are so many Christians miserable?" Good point. Good point. And that was one of the reasons why he was not interested in the kingdom of God. Now, thank God, from what I understand, he did get saved. Not by me, though. Darn it. Somebody else. You know, I watered him. Oh, I planted seeds. Somebody came along and evidently watered him. And finally, someone harvested him. Amen. But I had a great hindrance at the time I was ministering to this man because I had a Mormon there. And he kept challenging the Word of God, always trying to tear the Word of down. He said, "Well, if the Word of God is, it's been rewritten so many times, how can you trust that God's even in it?" And I said, "Well, do you believe that God's part of it?" "Oh, yeah, I believe God's part of it." "Then why are you believing in a book that was totally rewritten by a man? At least we got part of God in the Bible." He looked at me and he left me alone ever since. So it's kind of like the way Jesus answered some people. They did not ask him no more questions. Well, it's true. Your mind has to be saved daily. It's a daily process. And if you don't think it is, concentrate on how you think and put God into the equation. It'll drive you crazy. There's a half of my brain I'd like to lose. You know what I mean? But that isn't the case. Now, we're going to cover this situation here, and we're by nature children of emotions. Because you can put that in there where wrath is. By nature, you are an emotional being. That means that if you have a new nature planted on the inside of you, by the way, the Strong's Concordance, not the newest Strong's Concordance, the old tried and true Strong Concordance says that means that for creation there means original formation. Oh, I like that. You mean I'm restored back spiritually to the original position that Adam and Eve were? Yes, absolutely. That's why the new birth is so powerful. That's why you cannot discover the glory that is given us today through the Old Testament. You have to find the glory today through Jesus. Then you go back into the Old Testament and you see that glory had no glory by the glory that now excelleth. Glory to God. And so when people draw analogies out of the Old Testament, very clear, careful how I hear, because I don't want that glory to supersede the glory that I now have in Christ. Glory to God. And so you lost the nature of Adam when you got born again and gained the nature of God in your spirit. The thing is that your natural mind now has to emanate what you are spiritually. In order for that to come out of you, something has to be done through which it expresses itself. It's called the mind. Now notice it says, we're by nature the children of wrath. You know what that means? If you was once that, that means you are no longer bound to be that, an emotional being. And yet you find believers, including myself, we get very, very emotional about things. And believe it or not, the more emotional you get about it, the more you destroy your ability to have faith in the Word of God. And you don't even realize it. Well, I've been seeing that myself. Now, what does the word emotion mean? Well, this word emotion comes from a Latin word, or a Latin term, that means to move, or to move you. Isn't that interesting? That's what it comes from. It means something that moves something. See, our emotions are constantly steering and moving us either towards or away from something. Either towards or away from something. Now, Strong's says that the term for wrath is an emotion or an excitement of the mind. An excitement of the mind. I thought that was very interesting, because people that are emotionally prone, it's a mental thing. Now, does it mean that we're a bad person because we have emotions? No. And you can't dismiss emotions. They're a part of you. Right. They're a part of your soul. Your soul is connected to your spirit, and they're united eternally. So whether you realize it or not, when you go to heaven, you will have emotions. But up there, they're going to be under more control than they are here. So you can't dismiss emotions, but you can turn them into a positive direction. Hallelujah. And a lot of Christians don't understand that. They're just emotionally prone, and they don't give no thought over their emotions. So it means they are what motivates us to deal with our surroundings, whether hostile or friendly. Somebody asked me what it meant to be under control of your emotions. I like what John Cook shared with me this morning. It was so powerful that you might want to write this down. He shared with me that emotional maturity is developed from the state of self-centeredness to the state of outgoing concern for others. You want me to say that again? Emotional maturity means a person is developed from the state of self-centeredness to the state of outgoing concern for others. You see, when people are emotionally controlled by other people, it means that they're putting a defense up to protect themselves. Say. And that's self-centeredness. That is a form of self-centeredness. Listen, when a man's under control of his emotions, he doesn't need a defense. He's already well-balanced, already positioned quite well to handle the situation. He doesn't need no defense system going up before him called emotions to protect him. So, emotions have what I call a three-part cycle. A three-part cycle. In other words, something that kicks them up, brings them alive. Number one, emotions come as a result of a revisit. To revisit an incident that sparked the emotion to begin with. It revisits. Emotions revisit. Number two, they relive that memory. They relive it. Emotionally controlled people never are free from past experiences, especially that are negative. Now, if you've had good past experiences, all right, to be controlled emotionally like that. Bob was controlled emotionally here because of his past experiences with the Lord all came together today, and we could all hear Bob's joy. That's a good emotion. Now, religious people don't like that because they're emotionally religious. So, sometimes our emotions are expressed because we relive something. We relive something in memory, and it sparks those emotions. And, of course, the third one is the conscious mind. It is in the awareness of the power of memory, are you ready? In feelings. The conscious mind is always in the awareness of the power of memory. The power of memory. Have you ever thought that you remembered something not just by knowledge, but also in feelings. Have you ever thought that? When I did a study on this the first time, I never thought that way. I never thought that I would remember something in feelings. I always thought I would remember knowledge. You know what I mean? But boy, when I found out, wait a minute here, I also remember something in feelings. See, and when you, that's a dangerous thing, because what if those feelings are more to protect you rather than to put you into a position to trust again? People that are prone to protect themselves from other people's mistakes are emotionally controlled. I'm free from other people's mistakes. Are you following me? Because I have God's discernment working in my heart. And so many believers are such victims of somebody else's misuse. I'm so tired of hearing that. Listen, you got a brain. What are you afraid of? Somebody said, well, they said so. Aren't you afraid of what something might happen? No, I'm not afraid. I have confidence in what I know. Well, that's a little prideful, don't you think? I'm going to tell you what. Spiritual strength can come across as a tremendous pride thing. That's why a lot of people couldn't understand Paul. Well, how are you ever going to correct Paul when he heard it personally from Jesus in the third heaven? Start taking sides with mankind and come against what Jesus already personally told you? I don't think so. That's why Paul could not be accepted by too many people, because of his spiritual strength. Now, when the term emotionalism is used, or the term he is an emotional person, that is one who is controlled by their emotions. That's what they're referring to. Now, we've had situations in my life, I'm just as guilty. I've been a part of a church, and because I wasn't free emotionally, and I got into a meeting where everyone was free emotionally, I thought that was spirituality. And so I got excited because everybody was free to express their emotions, you know, as spirituality. But when I get into the Bible says, be careful how you carry yourself around other people, because they'll think you're crazy, kind of like maybe some of you think I am this morning. But just because you're an emotional free nut doesn't necessarily mean your zeal's of God. You know, because when you are expressing a freedom to be whatever you want to be in the presence of God at the expense of somebody else, you're really not free. Because you're so bound up, you're looking for a place to go so you can express a freedom that you don't have. I can sit back and have total control and enjoy the presence of God without going into gyrations over it. And it doesn't mean that God won't hit me with a gyration. I needed it one time. I was so stiff. I got into this meeting and I was so stiff. And everybody, I mean the whole place, broke out and dancing before the Lord and flipping out and falling down. And I went, ooh. And all of a sudden the power of God hit me and I found myself doing the same thing. How many understand what I'm talking about? Boy, when you are emotionally gyrated, it's because you better make sure God's in it. Some people that could care less if anybody else is in it, as long as they're able to express their freedom. And they're the only one doing it, and everybody else is quiet and looking at them. Something ain't clicking here. When God moves in our midst, we all get into it. We all jump into the stream. Not just one person wants to prove to everybody how spiritual they are. And that ain't the way God's moving at all. Proverbs 25:28 says something very interesting. He that hath no rule over his own spirit, his spirit, is like a city that is broken down without walls. No protection. When a man can't get a hold of himself emotionally, he has no protection. He will either destroy himself or somebody else will do the process. If he don't do it himself, somebody else will. Because he has no protection. That means that means that anybody could enter his territory and do whatever they like because he has no walls of protection. Well, what are these walls of protection? It is not building barriers to preserve yourself. It literally means building a defense structure of maturity where you've got control of your being, control of your nature, controlling of your attitude, so no matter when anybody steps into your arena, you're all right. You're going to be able to handle the whole situation. I just had a situation not too long ago hit me, and I went, ah! Finally, God got a hold of me and said, what's the matter with you? Are you receiving something different than what you're accustomed to? No, not really. Then relax, man. Just relax. I'll work it out. So, I believe this. I believe that what this one person said, and I agree with him. He said that attitude is 10% knowledge and 90% emotion. That attitude is 10% knowledge and 90% emotions. So you better make sure that the 90% of emotions are controlled by 10% of the knowledge of God. Amen? Your emotions are a major part of your attitude. Without emotions, there is no action. So you got to have emotions. Now, turn over to James chapter 1, verse 20. Say, I'm getting something here today. Oh, am I getting it? That helps me feel good. James 1:20. For the wrath of man, we can put it this way, for the emotional side of a man cannot work the righteousness of God. Hey, I might not be preaching what you'd like to hear, but it's good anyway. So say amen. Amen. How can I tell if my emotions are in control of me? Oh, should we try to cover this list right now? Real quick, like? There's 12 things. If you get these 12 down, I know what you're going to say. We're going to have June type them out? Well, we can. But she's still got to finish the other from the groundwork that the voice of unbelief comes from, or doubt. So we'll get that to you with this one. So make a note of this. June's the we. Yes. Okay. How do I know my emotions are in control of me? Well, again, emotionalism has a lot to do with a person's freedom of himself or others. He's either a prisoner or he's free. Number one, do you try to gain control by emotional outbursts? Do you try to control people in their decisions or the way they think through emotional outbursts? If you get angry enough and have that wrong reaction all the time, it's a form of control. That means that you are a person who is not in control of yourself. Matter of fact, a lot of people will not communicate with you because of how you react to things. Number two, do you allow your emotions to swing automatically? Do you allow your emotions to swing automatically? Thank God for James. He gave us some information of how to keep our emotions in control or intact, in check. So, do you allow your emotions to swing automatically? Number three, are they causing you to lose your ability to think clearly? Oh, none of us have ever had that problem. Number four, do you habitually exaggerate the importance of present difficulties? People that are emotionally controlled over-exaggerate their present difficulties. You have no idea. Poor little self. All right. Let's look at the human potential here. Do you have feelings that you do not need intimate friends? Do you have feelings that you don't have need of intimate friends? Do you have that feeling? See, people that want to live a different kind of life don't draw very close to people. They're very selective, and then they keep a distance with them. See, these are people that are emotionally controlled. Number six, do you have a fear of others knowing the real you? All of us have that fear. All of us have that fear. But to grow emotionally mature, it is a subject we all have to deal with. Here's one. Seven, have you thought, if they really knew you, they would not like you? Boy, that is an emotional prison. And some dodos, you don't want them to know the real you because they're stupid enough to let everybody else know as well. You need to be selective of who you're going to really choose to release yourself in that. But some people won't even do that because, well, there's pride at work as well. And pride is an emotion. Here's another one. Do you pretend to be the kind of person you think they would really like? This is where hypocrisy takes its major goal. Do you pretend to be the kind of person you think they would really like? Number nine, are you excited to be around the people you know, or do you just put up with them? I've heard that all the time. Yeah, I know, I'm part of that, but I'm just putting up with everything. Well, you've got a problem. Number 10, do you allow the tape recorder to play in your mind of self-justification over conflict? Oh, I'll say this one again because none of us ever do this. Do you allow the tape recorder to play in your mind of self-justification over conflict? I hear mine go off all the time. My tape recorder click. And this voice of self-justification gets going. And the more it talks, the more I don't face my emotional position. See, my emotions are in control of me. Here's another one. When you're around people, do you get stressed out and uptight? Well, I'll say it this way. Certain people. Do certain people get you uptight? Would that be better to say? Yeah, okay. All right, here's another one. Is taking the first step with people impossible for you, or do you wait for them? And if no one does, do you cop an attitude? Somebody got violently upset at me. I didn't say hi to them. And they wanted to swallow my head. And I like what Carol said to me when she heard about the incident. She said, well, it's a two-way street, brother. Why didn't I cop an attitude? They didn't say something to me. Hey, if I didn't say hi to you, why didn't you say hi to me? I'm emotional about this thing, you know. Right? Is it a one-way thing? I thought that was so good, Carol. These are signs of emotional control over your life. You're allowing emotions to control you. Listen. The thing about an emotional person is that they can read you without you saying anything. When a person's emotional, they can read you without you saying anything to them. See, people with emotional problems always wear them on their person. It goes with the territory. Have you ever noticed, a lot of times I'll notice how people react to something. I'll throw something out just to get a reaction out, see if they're in control of it or not. And when I throw it out, they go... And I know right away, well, that ends that. I ain't going any further with this puppy because I ain't going to do no good. An emotional control person, you cannot give them any insight or input. They shut you down. And how I discovered that is when you're pastoring and you look at your church and you deal with all the kind of peoples in your church and you know how in control you are of yourself, you know right away that it is laity problem and not pastoral. Some of you are going, I lost it. Well, you know it ain't true. Pastors are just as prone to emotionalism as laity is. Praise God, believe me. Every time I go to a pastor's convention, they're the worst. But seeing as how I'm teaching it and I'm so perfect that I can, suck it up, you guys. Did you guys get something here today? Stand up, everybody. Praise God. We're going to have a good time. Now that I've given all this negatory stuff, do I have something pository to say about it? Yes. I shouldn't have said that. Positive to say about it. Praise God. Hallelujah. I forgot the donkey statement last week. I don't want to make another one. We lost a few on that one. Praise God. Sue says, I wish you'd watch your mouth. We're trying to grow this church, not shrink it. Shrink it. Praise God. Let's bow our heads. Close our eyes. Father, I thank you so much for the Word of God this morning. It is so powerful, Father. It is the thing that molds and shapes us. Not the world, but the Word of God. And Father, this morning, if there be anybody here that can truthfully say, yeah, I've been to church. Yeah, I've heard about Jesus. I know all the jargon and everything else, but I just don't know whether I'm really saved or not. I don't have a peace about where I'm going. Well, today you can be confirmed that you are a saved person. And if you've never given your heart and life to Jesus, you need to make that step. Because life's uncertainty. Life's uncertainty. We live in a crooked and dangerous world. Don't take your chance by leaving here and not knowing that you're saved. And if you're here as a believer and you know that you need to get your fellowship with God right, you know that this message has touched your heart and you've been an emotional prisoner and you want to be free, you want to get back into right fellowship with your Heavenly Father, this morning we're going to give you that opportunity. And if you're here and you've never been baptized in the Holy Ghost, you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost for spiritual depth. You need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You need that heavenly language to draw the mysteries of the kingdom of God with. Hallelujah. And so right now, as our altar ministers are prepared to minister to you, if you would like to respond off of one of those requests that I've given out, I want you to feel free to step out right now and come forward. Those of you that want salvation, restoration, or the infilling of the Holy Ghost, I want you to feel free to step out and come forward right now. Let us minister to you. This is important for your life. We'll just take just a minute. But if you're and you're struggling, you don't know whether to do it or not, quit struggling. Step out and let God meet you. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Anybody? Okay. Praise God. If you would like prayer over the message that was given today, you want one of our altar ministers to minister to you and with you concerning where you're at emotionally. Maybe you have attitudes. Those are part of your emotions. That's another in prayer and dealing with anybody else. Feel free to do it. You know, usually a message that God puts on my heart is what this body needs. Don't hide it. If you want prayer, feel free to come up. Hallelujah. Feel free to come up. Hallelujah. 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 Anybody? Okay, come on up. Praise God. What an honor. What an honor.
Hi there, baby. How you doing?
Anybody else? Praise God. You know, sometimes it just helps when someone partners with you. You know, if you think you got it all together and you can deal with this alone, I'm going to tell you something, people. I've tried some of my emotions by myself, don't work, I have to go to somebody. Thank God for John Cook. Thank God for my staff. They'll tell you when I get emotional about something, they know it, don't you? They know it. I go and let my whole staff know what an emotional nut I am. And you know, they're getting better at it and better at it to help stabilize me as their pastor. There isn't any of us in this building that doesn't need prayer for some kind of an emotional response. And so when you come up here, you do God honor to the message that He spoke. All of us need to join hands with others in dealing with emotional situations in our life. I don't care how independent and how strong you think you are. I guarantee there's something in you that you need to deal with. So I want you to feel free to come up. Anybody else? Hallelujah. I'll tell you, we're not in this thing together. No, we are in it together. Everything, we're in it together. And that includes our emotions. Hallelujah. So just feel free to come up. Hallelujah.
Almighty God.
We'll just wait just a minute.
My Redeemer, my hiding place.
Boy, I'm so proud of those that come forward. When you testify before men, then I will testify before the Lord, the Father. Jesus said that. What an honor. What an honor. Some people hide it. And I thank God I'm up here the first. The first. You know, I never preached anything that I didn't need myself. Matter of fact, a lot of times I'll preach what I need the most just because I'm having the hardest time with it. That's right. If I'm going down, my flesh is going down in a blaze of glory. Your flesh is going with me. That's the way I look at it. Amen. I mean, none of us are exempt. None of us. I'd like to say we are, but none of us are exempt. Not one of us. Hallelujah. We're in this together. I probably need prayer more than any of them that even come up here. I can get very emotional about things. If you don't believe me, ask my wife. If you don't believe me, ask Ida. She's probably closest to us than any other person. I'm not an emotional wreck, am I, Ida? I never have that problem. Thank God you guys are bringing me to maturity. Amen, John. Okay, I want my altar ministers to come up here, and I want them to be praying with you. Hallelujah. Come on up here real quick-like. Get set in position. Hallelujah. And those of you that want to stay and pray with them, you can. But Bob, you come up for prayer. Get in front of these wonderful people. Hallelujah. 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 Carol, get up here. Carol, Hanson. Or, not Hanson. Whatever your new last names are. Don't get emotional about that. I get up here and pray with these people. Hallelujah. Okay. Hallelujah. Come on down here, Carol. Hallelujah. Right there. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay. Are you guys ready? Father, I thank you so much that as we now prepare to pray for those that have responded to the altar and set those free to go, Father, may they have a victorious day. And Father, may they be blessed today far above what they could ask or think of in Jesus' name. And with that, you're dismissed. God bless you.